Studio 360.
Maria Schneider conducts her own jazz orchestra, 18 pieces that sometimes blast like an old big band, but mostly plays music that's more intimate. And she is a hugely ambitious songwriter who takes a kind of classical music approach to composing jazz. Schneider grew up in Windom, Minnesota, population 4,600, and you can hear the Midwestern in her voice. She doesn't put out new albums very often, so when I heard that she was working on one a couple of years ago, I paid a visit to her cozy Manhattan apartment slash studio.
It's called the Thompson Fields, and it's about this farm back home. And I had walked to the top of the silo just a few years back and looking at the bean fields and thinking about all the families that I know, all the
farms. And by beans, we mean soybeans.
Yes, soybeans, yes. and just thinking about the generations in our families and the stories and seeing the wind blow across these beans and just feeling the spirits and the layers of life there in the seemingly empty vastness of it all.
Now, how does that, though, when you get back to here, become music?
Well, first of all, when I first start writing something, and I'm this particular song, it first came to me in the laundry room, and it was this. So I'll be sitting here writing something like that or hearing something like that. And all of a sudden, as I'm listening to that, I'm transported to on top of that silo.
Uh-huh.
So this particular piece, if I'm just kind of going through here to see if I can find... eventually this moves on and it goes to the key of A flat. And then this B chord starts happening. And the trombones keep hitting this, but at this point, the pianist, Frank, starts playing. Or maybe in the key of... He starts playing in bitonally against this B to somehow get the feeling of these different things happening. And now what I've got in my head is that maybe I'm going to want the guitar player maybe to start playing an F. I don't know. And then maybe the piano. So that it's almost very Ivesian.
It is.
In its idea.
And when you say you might have the guitarist do this, you don't know yet.
I don't know. I have to talk to him about it, you know, and maybe having him do something with a lot of reverb. So it almost feels like there's another tonality in there. I mean, we've been working on this thing for a while, and I'm not quite satisfied yet. So, you know, it's like a work in progress. And the trick is, when you're dealing with improvising musicians, and I want this effect, and I'm not happy until I am sitting on that silo, and I am feeling, and I am seeing all these families and all these my parents' friends who are gone. When I feel that they're there, then I know we've got it and we don't have it yet. So
yeah.
I have to try to describe what this is that I want.
That's the composer Maria Schneider. So was she able to finish that piece and get it just right? We followed her for a whole year to find out. And that's ahead on Studio 360.
Studio 360.
Today on Studio 360, we are talking about the challenge of knowing when a piece of creative work is finished.
This particular song, it first came to me in the laundry room.
Earlier this hour, we listened in on Maria Schneider, the jazz composer, who was in the early stages of composing an album for her jazz orchestra. Her process is a complicated one. She relies on her musicians to improvise around musical ideas that she's come up with and help her come up with the solutions that then become part of the finished composition.
I want this effect, and I'm not happy until I am sitting on that silo and I am seeing all these families and all these my parents' friends who are gone. When I feel that they're there, then I know we've got it and we don't have it yet.
When she was making her album, The Thompson Fields, Schneider took her entire ensemble, more than a dozen musicians, to her tiny hometown of Windham, Minnesota, so they could soak in the landscape and community feeling. Here is her pianist, Frank Kimbrough.
We stayed out at the Thompson Farm. They have room for about half the band to stay there. We can just kind of stretch out at his farm for a day or two. It's beautiful because it's, I think she was referring to it as native prairie.
Oh, there's nothing better than bringing this band to play the music for the people and the home that inspired it. Very moving for me.
So you have almost moments ago finished, I understand.
Yes. Yes, it's a great feeling.
So you mastered it today, whatever that means.
Yes, the final touches on the final version that goes to the factory.
And the title is finally?
It's The Thompson Fields.
As you said it would be a year ago. Well, congratulations. I want to play a clip, actually, from the conversation we had last year. You were talking about the title track, which was still in the incubation stage.
Now what I've got in my head is that maybe I'm going to want the guitar player maybe to start playing an F. I don't know. And then maybe the piano.
And when you say you might have the guitarist do this, you don't know yet.
I don't know. I have to talk to him about it, you know, and maybe having him do something with a lot of reverb so it almost feels like there's another tonality in there.
And so did you talk to that guitarist about adding reverb?
We ended up not using the guitar. That's funny. When I was listening to that, it is amazing to look back at your creative process. And I could still add guitar, but we ended up just doing it with the piano. And Frank plays in two keys with his two hands, so I end up with three keys sometimes.
Wow. And do your musicians, as you're composing, ever disagree with you, or are you just the general yes man?
Disagree. I don't think so much disagree, but, you know, we discuss things and, you know, sometimes when you're trying to get to something and figuring out a section and you're all doing it together, I think sometimes for them, occasionally, there's a degree of frustration if they sense that I'm not hearing it yet and they're trying to give it and they're the ones who are stuck playing it, wondering if I've heard it yet. You know, that can't be easy. And
that sounds like a relationship.
It is.
I mean, like every relationship.
It's a relationship that's been going on with these people for a lot of years now.
I want to play a bit of one of the recordings along the way in this project that you made. And we recorded these in the sound booth, so people will hear the engineers occasionally telling each other to make adjustments. So is this what we're hearing now, the first time you played that piece in the studio?
In the studio, yes. But it sounds, that's not the take we used. I can tell that.
Tell me what you're hearing that wasn't quite right, that you wanted to fix in the subsequent takes.
I'm hearing that there's a little bit of a lack of flow in the time. This piece has I wanted to capture some motion, so I think we're all kind of finding our way, and I think that our final version has a little bit more flow to it.
This isn't enough forward propulsion for you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, here it feels a little weak. Yeah, this definitely isn't the take, but, you know, not bad.
Let's hear the final version on this album that you have just signed off on. How does it feel to be done? This is a long process.
Oh, it is. I feel like I am literally crawling on my hands and knees to the finish line. It's a huge project. It was a lot of music and a lot of details. And you put so years into writing it, a lot of time into rehearsing it. I want to represent each soloist in a really good way. And I don't know, I put my heart and soul into these records.
This one more than others, or do they all take this much out of you?
They're all painful, but each subsequent one feels like, oh, it was never this painful before. But then other people remind me that, yes, you cried before, and you know.
Maria Schneider, thank you so much for letting us annoy you and hang around with you during this entire process. It's been a pleasure for us.
Pleasure for me. Thank you.
That album came out in 2015. Her newer one is called Maria Schneider and SWR Big Band.